Welcome to another episode of the Left of Lansing podcast with Pat Johnston. A progressive insight into Michigan's political and cultural world. And of course, an entertaining podcast designed to shine a light on how to make Michigan's political machine work for the people. Now, from the Left of Lansing headquarters, located in his attic, here's the award-winning Pat Johnston.
Oh, yeah! Welcome to another episode of Michigan's premier progressive podcast. I am Pat Johnston, and longtime meteorologist Paul Gross from the Detroit area, I believe he was on Channel 4 for many years, he shared this story from NBC News. And I understand that with everything that's happened or is happening or isn't about to happen, you'd wonder why I'm mentioning this story right off the bat. Well, I'm mentioning it because I think it says a lot where we are right now as the United States of America, the so-called enlightened country. The Trump regime is breaking up the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Colorado, the largest federal climate change lab. Russ Vought, director of the, or is it Voigt? I don't know. Russ Vought, the director of the White House Office of Management and Budget, and also one of the architects of Project 2025, made the announcement on Twitter by saying, "This facility is one of the largest sources of climate alarmism in the country." Climate alarmism? Which means, hey, guys, we need to scrub the scientists and the research quick because it's hurting our big-time oil company donors. NBC News reports the announcement about NCAR is the latest in a series of Trump administration efforts to curtail climate research and cancel clean energy projects. President Trump has called climate change a hoax and a con job, ignoring scientists' widespread consensus about the Earth's clear and continued warming trajectory. The 10 hottest years since 1850 have all occurred in the past decade, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Last year was the hottest on record for the planet, eclipsing the previous record set back in 2023. So you're now understanding why they want to get rid of this lab. Now, in Michigan, we're dealing with smoke from Canadian wildfires because of climate change, and this atmospheric research lab in Colorado provides data to inform the country and the world how climate change continues to change our lives, change our environment, change our weather patterns, and change our overall economy. This lab was built back in 1960 when Ike, and then later on JFK, would press the United States to be always on the forefront of science, technology, discovery, and education. As NBC News reports again, the center has provided critical research on long-term atmospheric changes, global warming, air pollution, wildfires, extreme weather, and geomagnetic storms. Daniel Swain, a climate scientist at the University of California, Los Angeles, wrote the following on Twitter, saying that the regime's moves to dismantle this center would decimate not only climate research, but also the kind of weather, wildlife, and disaster research underpinning half a century of progress in prediction, early warning, and increased resilience. A half a century of progress all down the drain this quickly because the tech bro billionaires and oil and gas industry, the corporate authoritarians, have high positions within this regime. I mean, it's amazing. This center helps save lives and it helps our economic future, but it's all gone. Part of this is due to the fact that Colorado, of course, is a blue state, well, kind of purplish, but it's got a Democratic governor, no doubt. And, you know, when it comes to this regime, settling old grievances is always the top of the list. But it's also about erasing information and history. Kind of like the regime is blocking certain economic data from being released, or how it tried its hardest to block the Epstein files from being released, which they are, I believe, supposed to be released, at least some of them, on Friday. But that's the way they think. If you don't see the evidence, then does it really exist? We as a country chose to go down this path after already living through it once already, and it clearly shows to me that we are a broken country at the moment. I'm reminded of a song by the Michigan-based group called The Accidentals. They're based out of Traverse City, and the song is called Night Train. And it's essentially a song about the singer's desire to, I don't know, become familiar with her country again. And the train that she's riding kind of serves as a metaphor of how, despite the different landscapes and the different scenery, it's all part of this one giant experiment called America. And in the final chorus of the song, the lead vocalist, Katie Larson, she says the following, and I'm quoting here. She says, "I'm on the night train, the skyline in sight. We're passing the salvage yard and into the morning light. I'm taking my time. This country of mine will get it on track. We'll watch the sun rise maybe two or three times as we come back." Now, that song was released back in 2021. So it was written and recorded as we began to emerge from the pandemic. But once we emerged, we haven't been the same. And we're still not the same. And probably will never be the same again. But I'd like to still believe that we would get this country of ours back on track, because this is not the country I want to die in. It's safe to say that millions and millions of working class Michiganders and Americans across the country, they share the same sentiment, especially if you're seeing the latest approval ratings for Dear Leader. And we saw evidence of this happening. We saw it this year with the hands-off rallies and the No Kings rallies that happened across the country. We saw it as working class people came together while political leaders on the Democratic Party side appeared to be flat-footed and unable to provide a voice for the rest of us at first. And actually, some of them are still struggling to do so. We saw it as tech bros pushed the Trump regime to force data centers across Michigan and the country. And again, while Democratic Party leaders failed to represent the working class, the people banded together to provide a populist resistance to these artificial intelligence data centers. As I talked with Michigan Advance's John King last week, working class people from all walks of life and from all political affiliations joined together in slowing down a monstrosity of a data center planned for Livingston County's Howell Township. Now, the fight isn't over there, but the investors and government officials who tried to sneak this data center across the finish line failed in those attempts, and they decided to take a step back for now. Okay? Now, we are seeing the same kind of working class populist resistance in Washtenaw County's Saline Township, where Oracle is pushing for a massive AI data center. Oracle, of course, is run by the MAGA-friendly Ellison family, the same family who owns Skydance Paramount, who runs CBS News, and who put an unqualified MAGA influencer and writer named Barry Weiss in control of CBS News. She has no journalism experience. She has no experience running any kind of news division. But by all means, they put her in charge of CBS News because she serves the billionaire class. And it should be mentioned that one of Barry Weiss's first moves as head of CBS News was to hold this faux town hall meeting or whatever with Erica Kirk, the widow of authoritarian extremist Charlie Kirk, with the hopes that it would become a ratings bonanza and capture so many people in the warped MAGA world. However, those hopes failed to come to fruition. The numbers for that Saturday night event were below 2 million viewers, which is, as Mediaite reports, an 11-point drop for the year-to-date average for that hour of 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It also marked a 41% decline in the key demo of 25 to 54, bringing in just 265,000 viewers. Oh man, these billionaires, they really know how to invest their money, don't they? I guess I'll just never understand why one would choose to be a puppet for the billionaire class like Barry Weiss is doing, but I suppose that's why she's there, and well, I'm here. I could never sell my soul or kiss enough ass. I learned that in my radio days that I just could not play the corporate game. I was never good at it, and so I knew I would never make it big in that industry. I never understood why this country and its media machines put so much stock into the myth that those who are rich were the successful Americans. As if to say that a teacher or a cop or a mental health therapist or a daycare worker or those working at a hospice were not successful. That's the meaning right there, right? The successful ones are the rich ones, the barons. That's why our government grants these tech bros, for example, these tech bro barons, all of these lavish tax breaks and government contracts, because they are the exceptional ones. That's why state governments, including Michigan state government, passed a tax break bill before the end of last year during the lame duck session, granting major tax breaks and incentives for Deer Leader Trump's tech bro darlings to build expensive and expansive water-sucking and job-sucking data centers right here. And Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer fell over herself to back these data centers at a time when Oracle, the billionaire big tech company, is currently watching its stock tumble. But this is who we're banking on to save Michigan and bring young, talented people to the state. This is going to do it. It hasn't before. On top of that, we've got the state's utility monopoly of DTE and Consumers Energy pushing for more and more and more data centers, since it'll increase their profits tenfold to provide the power for these energy-sucking data centers. Now, listen to this little nugget that I found by Kevin Hardy's story in Michigan Advance on rising electricity bills throughout the country. This is very important. It says, an analysis of consumer credit data from the left-leaning group called Century Foundation and Protect Borrowers found that about 1 in 20 households, some 14 million Americans, had utility bills at least 90 days past due in June. Between March of 2022 and June of 2025, the report found average overdue balances climbed from $597 to $789. You see, that's a problem, and it's one that our elected leaders in Michigan and also on the federal side are exacerbating. In that same story, it details how even Republicans in red states, like in Georgia, are now getting a little nervous about these data centers and how they are raising electricity rates for their voters. And that's why two Democrats won seats on that state's energy regulatory board back in November. By the way, ABC News reported this week that energy prices have soared 13% since Deer Leader got back into the White House. 13%. See, the working class is getting squeezed by the minute, and neither the Trump regime or MAGA Republicans or even some Democratic Party leaders are understanding that truth. This week, a few hundred people braved the cold Michigan weather to provide a collective face and collective opposition to these data centers in front of the state capitol in Lansing on this past Tuesday. Data centers that are being propped up again without any of the working class having a chance to give their input. The working class is tired of being pushed around by corporate and government greed and corruption, working hand in hand while one washes the other. And the working class is catching on. Now, there are some who are doing some great work in fighting back against it, like Michigan's Democratic Attorney General Dana Nessel, who's demanding more transparency as DTE and the Whitmer administration are trying to fast-track that Saline Township Center with no public input. So give credit where credit is due to Attorney General Nessel. The Michigan Public Service Commission, which is the regulatory arm of the state, will hold a hearing on Thursday, the same day this show is released, and they will try to decide whether or not to greenlight this data center in Saline Township. And we wonder why there's this populist uprising happening, right? It seems like decisions are being made without the working class having any kind of say. And that's why I applaud Michigan Progressive State Representative Dylan Wagella and MAGA Republican Jim DeSana for joining forces and introducing a bill that would repeal state tax breaks for hyperscaled data centers. Again, I will always give credit when credit is due, and I will do that for Jim DeSana. I don't agree with him 97% of the time, but on this one issue, I do, and I will applaud him. I mean, it's a freaking joke that we're even granting hard-earned taxpayer money to these billionaire tech bros who'll still build here no matter what if they really want to do it. They don't need our money. Or maybe they won't even build here anyway if the AI bubble bursts, which is quite obvious that it could happen. And then when it does, they'll walk away with the money that we gave them, leaving these communities that were supposed to house these AI data centers. Yeah, these communities then will have to fend for themselves. Isn't that always the case? We just saw how Ford announced this week that it's scrapping many of its EV truck plans after receiving hundreds of millions of dollars in state funds after promising thousands and thousands of jobs that would be created. I mean, when will we ever learn? And finally, to bring this back to what I talked about at the beginning here with the Trump regime dismantling that climate change research lab in Colorado, in order to power up these data centers, DTE and Consumers Energy will have to pump more natural gas into the air. And since natural gas was considered, quote unquote, clean energy in Michigan's Clean Energy and Jobs Bill last year, a bill which I will have to tell you did have some good things in it, no doubt. Well, now this will just add more carbon dioxide emissions in the air that we breathe. So I'm not exactly seeing how that's a win for everybody. Meanwhile, the working class is getting screwed into non-existence. The Trump regime and many of its MAGA Republicans in Congress and some Democrats are working together to rush through these data centers since that's where they get their campaign money. I mean, we know that here in Michigan with DTE and Consumers Energy giving lots of money to both sides of the aisle. I mean, getting rid of a climate change lab or dear leaders pushing for a war in Venezuela to get its oil and the push for these data centers, they are all connected, all connected. And quickly, I just have to mention that a federal judge just minutes ago of this recording ruled that the state of Michigan cannot shut down Line 5 in the Straits of Mackinac since it's under federal jurisdiction, according to that judge, i.e. that means dear leader Trump's in control of that whole situation. Doesn't that make you sleep well at night? I mean, we already know that he's about keeping the Canadian oil pipeline going, which is really the only thing from Canada that he likes. I think we, the working class, are really beginning to realize how corporate and government greed and corruption is sending this country down the drain. And to paraphrase the great George Carlin, it's a small room, everyone, and we ain't allowed in it. You're listening to LOL.
Left of Lansing podcast. If you truly want to get Pat fired up, talk about Tigers baseball or how you think the 90s produced the worst music of any decade. You've been warned. Email him at leftoflansing@gmail.com and follow him on Twitter at leftoflansing. Here's Pat.
And let me just say that when it comes to CBS News, please don't watch. It's just a propaganda arm for the billionaire class and doesn't serve in the interest of the working class. I mean, we used to enjoy watching CBS Sunday morning for years, but hey, don't watch it anymore ever since Barry Weiss was made the news division's president. And I just like to know how much longer until all of the CBS News staff decides to pack it up and just say, you know, the hell with this. I mean, there's only so many places the warped MAGA mind can go and won't be able to watch CBS and Fox News at the same time. What would Walter Cronkite have done? Leftoflansing@gmail.com is a good way to reach me as always. You can follow me on Blue Sky, Twitter, the Gram, the Facebook, and make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast. And to please give the show a good review wherever you are listening. Please don't forget to catch the show on the YouTube, like the videos that I post there, and subscribe to the show as well. And I will be doing a lot more on YouTube in 2026, I promise. Because not only do you get the weekly episodes, the Monday musings, and the Friday shorts there, but you get some other commentary that I don't include on the show. So please follow me and subscribe to me on YouTube. And let me thank a listener who wrote me the following on YouTube this week, and I'd like to share it with you. The listener said, "I'm glad I found you. I've been thinking about starting a channel to talk about politics, especially Michigan, ever since my husband said to me that he thinks Michigan is going to end up a red state in the next election. People need to understand that it's Republicans that are destroying jobs and who kiss the asses of the billionaire class. Republicans are the job killers that hate the working class." Well, I'm not really going to disagree with any of that, but let me also say that I'm glad that you found me and found the show. And it's because of your listens and for subscribing to the show that that really helps the show get off the ground and find a wider audience across Michigan and the rest of the nation. I mean, this is all about sharing progressive messages that advocate for real, populist, progressive change values and policy. So I thank you, dear listener, for coming back each and every week. And thank you to people like the one I just shared with you for letting me know that they like what they're hearing. Now, I'm not saying you're always going to like what you're hearing on the show, And there'll be for sure times when you will vehemently disagree with my takes on certain subjects and strategies, and that's fine. I love hearing other ideas, and sometimes, hey, your ideas might be better than mine, or your ideas will cause me to maybe reconsider some of my opinions, or it won't. Like some of the comments I received from last week's show where I was heavily critical of Governor Gretchen Whitmer. I've heard from some of you who really like Big Gretch. But I'm not going to change my opinion. I think she's lost right now politically. I don't even know what she's doing. Regardless, you are always going to get my honest views on things. And at the very least, you know that I'm not bought and paid for. One other thing. The new listener said that they were thinking about running their own YouTube channel to talk Michigan politics. Please, the more the merrier. I mean, we need more progressive voices in the Michigan political podcast ring. I mean, there's me, left of Lansing. There's Gina, Adrian, and Julia from Distill Social's podcast called Point of Disorder. There's A Republic, if you can keep it. That's a good one, too. And I know the State Democratic Party has one if you want to check that out. But we need more voices out there to help battle the countless MAGA voices that are currently in podcast land and elsewhere. We need all the help that we can get if we're going to let everyone know that progressives are representing the working class and letting as many people know how MAGA Republicans don't represent or care about the working class one bit. They only care about their corporate donors. Here's a quick example of what I'm talking about on a national level. Just listen to this. Just let me talk about this for one quick moment. During the Biden years, the U.S. agreed to levy a 15% minimum tax on companies earning at least $1 billion, and that helps stop companies from trying to claim full-scale reductions on research and development. And according to Bloomberg, this 15% minimum tax left these corporate lobbyists vexed. Vexed? Vexed? It vexes them. They are vexed. Who uses vexed? I don't know. So the Trump regime's Treasury Department is developing a little workaround that pesky 15% tax by allowing corporations to use the quote-unquote lucrative research and development tax savings as part of the MAGA murder budget. I mean, the regime and the MAGA majority in Congress already okayed massive corporate tax breaks. They've already done that. And now they want to give these corporations even more and more help. Once again, this shows who the regime works for and is willing to make happy, and it's not the working class. Meanwhile, chief economist for Navy Federal, Heather Long, reported how the United States is in the middle of a hiring recession. After the much-delayed November jobs report was finally released this week, it showed only 64,000 jobs created in November. That was it, 64,000 jobs. Now, Heather Long tweeted, 710,000 more people are unemployed now versus November of last year. And she gives possible or probable reasonings for these harsh numbers. And she says, I believe it's a combination of tariff impacts, AI, and cost cutting. Americans are feeling it. Yeah, they are feeling it more than ever. No one, everybody, no one in the working class is safe. Get ready, everyone. I mean, get ready, because with the regime pushing for these AI data centers, more pain is on the way. Not to mention how these failed policies of corporate tax breaks, corporate incentives, corporate grants, and other forms of corporate welfare have never worked in the last 45 years or so. It's just another way of doing triple-down economics. That's all it is. It's a broken record that keeps on playing and playing and playing over and over and over again. I mean, here's an example of that broken, warped, MAGA Republican mind on economics, okay? Listen to this.
And what's your one quick idea for making more jobs come to Michigan?
I think we have to cut regulations, cut taxes.
Not raise them.
Absolutely not.
That was MAGA Republican Michigan State Representative Ann Bolin, who's the head of the House Appropriations Committee, talking with veteran Lansing reporter Tim Skubick on WKAR's Off the Record show last week. Now, her brilliant plan, as you just heard there, was giving more tax breaks to corporations. That's it. The same ideas they've had forever. And let me just say something right here. I may have given faint praise to MAGA State House Speaker Matt Hall when he said that he was against the state's SOAR program. And the SOAR program is essentially, for all intents and purposes, a corporate welfare slush fund. That's all it is. Yet for all of his talk, Matt Hall just keeps shoveling more and more money to corporations. I'll explain, or better yet, have State Representative Ann Boland explain here in a moment. Now, as many of you are aware, and as I reported last week, because it was breaking, Ann Boland's fellow MAGA Republicans on that Appropriations Committee, with no warning and with just one vote on that Appropriations Committee, canceled $645 million in money that was already passed to pay for a number of projects across the state. It was already passed, and they blocked it because they could use some procedural move to block that money that was supposed to go towards work projects to help the state and the economy, money that many communities were counting on. But instead, they blocked money designed for the RX Kids program to help new moms, a program that's been a huge success in that it gives new moms money during the first year of the kid's life. It's gone. That money now gone. Now, Ann Boleyn says that some of this money for that program and other work projects wasn't spent fast enough. So she and her MAGA Republican colleagues clawed that money back because they were worried about waste, fraud, and abuse. I mean, they're using the exact same language of the failed Elon Musk and his Doge, which didn't do anything to save the United States of America any money. I mean, are you kidding me? How's not spending money fast enough all of a sudden abusing the system? But listen to this question from the Detroit News' Beth LeBlanc as she questions Representative Boland why that money, the money for all these work projects and for the RX Kids program, for example, why that money was clawed back, but the same thing didn't happen for the money from that corporate slush fund known as SOAR. And again, this is from WKAR's Off the Record. Listen.
This SOAR money, you said it was obligated. There's plenty of money that you asked that was obligated. In fact, they're still trying to sort through what was obligated and what wasn't, because those line items contain so many items. The SOAR program has been one that you've criticized repeatedly, and yet you kept that funding in. And it raises questions about whether it's because it's in Bill Schuette's district or it's in a Senate district that you're trying to win. A lot of these decisions appear to be political.
Well, for me, I really don't wear the political lens. I am much more practical and principled. And the decision is not only mine. You know, we have 17 members on the Appropriations Committee, and we are trying to work through it.
You know how you could have worked through it, Ann? By not blocking money meant for working class Michiganders. That's how. Here is Progressive State Representative and good friend of the show, Betsy Cafia, explaining on her Facebook page some of the programs that lost money thanks to MAGA Michigan Republicans. Okay, listen to this.
Look, I don't want us wasting taxpayer money either. We work hard for our money, right, as Michiganders. But here's what they consider waste, fraud, and abuse. Prenatal care. That's care for expectant mothers who are struggling and new mothers. Prenatal and maternal infant care, helping moms in this unbelievably difficult economy where everything's too expensive to buy diapers and get prenatal vitamins, cut. Waste, fraud, and abuse, really? Money that had been set aside for children battling cancer. I don't even know. I just went through cancer as an adult, and it is a very, very difficult thing for any human being to go through, much less little children. And we had set some money aside in a previous budget to help pay for wigs for children going through cancer to give them a little bit more of a sense of dignity and normalcy in just this difficult, difficult medical crisis that they and their families are going through together. That's not waste, fraud, and abuse, guys. It's just not. In no world is that waste, fraud, or abuse.
It's gone because one hallmark of MAGA Republicanism is to discount empathy, because empathy to them is weakness, according to many of them who ascribe to the white Christian nationalist philosophy. Because, hey, as we all know, if there's one thing that Jesus despised, it was showing empathy. Well, this has caused anger across the state. And also, it must be noted, also within the MAGA Republican faction in the state legislature. And that has really ruffled the feathers of Matt Hall, who, of course, has now resorted to the 12-year-old Trump-like wit by calling those Republicans traitors, children. The Democratic-led state Senate voted to restore all the cuts. But hey, what's done is done for now. Not much that they can do. Just remember, this is the kind of leadership that we could have statewide if MAGA Republicans win the governor's mansion and the state legislature next year. You're listening to LOL.
He spent nearly 25 years working as a liberal voice in conservative talk radio across the state, and he's still a somewhat stable person. It's the Left of Lansing podcast with Pat Johnston. You can find archives of the podcast, plus Pat's musings on other topics in written form at leftoflansing.com. Left of Lansing archives are available wherever you get your podcasts. And now Left of Lansing is available on YouTube. We'd like to thank Audio Boom for distributing all our episodes so we can share progressive, otherwise known as common sense, values across Michigan and the country. Now, here's Pat Johnston.
Well, to say that 2025 was a struggle is an understatement. I mean, for me personally and professionally, it was a struggle at times. Trust me, reading story after story after story of what feels like doom scrolling on social media on a daily basis, it's easy to get really depressed at times. Many of you, I think, can relate to that. And it's easy to feel overwhelmed most of the time. I get it. I lost my mom in January of this year, and that's weighed heavily on me, as many of you who have experienced similar losses know very well. And then a week later, a dear leader then got into office. Then, to bookmark this year, this awful year, the tragic news of writer, director, and actor Rob Reiner's death hit the news. Look, I'm not repeating what Trump said about Reiner and his wife being murdered in their home. I mean, you've probably already heard it or read it, but it again just goes back to this whole lack of empathy and this belief that empathy is weak and not showing empathy is strong. And that is the attitude, the hallmark of MAGA Republicanism. And Trump's never held empathy for anyone. And no one can illustrate a time when he's ever shown any empathy. Really, can anybody remember him ever showing empathy? It's not in his DNA. He can't do it. For some reason, though, Trump's social media posting where he seems to celebrate Reiner's death did actually, for the first time that I can remember, receive some backlash in MAGA land, as some office holders criticized him for it for a change. I don't know why, but for some reason on that one, they actually spoke up a bit. Many MAGA voters also expressed their negative reaction to his words as well. And I think that's a little telling, because I still believe that a majority of us were all brought up when we were children to act like, I don't know, normal human beings. I think that still goes for a majority of Americans, maybe not all Americans. Actually, there's a pretty good chunk of Americans that probably don't believe in that. But I still think that there's a good 50% plus, 51%, maybe 50.1% of us who believe that it's actually okay to express empathy once in a while. But that's not what we get from Dear Leader nor his regime. And that filters down, unfortunately, to those millions who follow him and think that it's cool. Look, I wasn't alive when All in the Family was first on TV and was way too young when it was wrapping up its run on CBS, you know, when CBS used to be bold. But I remember when I was in college getting to watch those reruns and finally giving the show a good study. And Rob Reiner's Mike Stivic always resonated with me. And maybe that's because I'd end up feeling like he did many times when he just wave his arms in futility and disgust when arguing with the bigoted Archie Bunker played by Carol O'Connor. I had many of those moments in terrestrial talk radio when I would have to argue with MAGA listeners at times. But Reiner and Carol O'Connor, they did make those characters three-dimensional, and their chemistry on screen became TV legend. Yet it was Reiner's movies that made the most impact for me growing up and in adulthood, be it Spinal Tap, Rock and Roll, or The Sure Thing. My dad said I can only use this credit card if I'm in an emergency. Well, maybe one will come up. Or The Princess Bride, It's Inconceivable. Or When Harry Met Sally, Mr. Zero Knew. Yes, Mr. Zero Knew. A Few Good Men, You Can't Handle the Truth, of course, Misery and Stand By Me, which are some of the best Stephen King novels that were adapted for screen by far. Maybe The Shining is up there too. And of course, don't forget about The American President. My name is Andrew Shepherd, and I am the president. I mean, all those movies resonated with me and were part of my upbringing. And it just goes to show you what kind of a great and powerful filmmaker Rob Reiner truly was. He knew how to make his movies resonate with people in all kinds of different genres. And I'm guessing it's the same for many of you. I mean, just listen to how I was able to give you lines from all those movies, which, by the way, makes me wonder if there are any movies in the last decade or so where we have quotable lines like that, like Rob Reiner gave us. I don't think so. And maybe that's because there was a time when movies and the movie industry used to make somewhat bold movies. I mean, they used to make films. Can't do that anymore. It sucks. And I am saddened by Rob Reiner's awful murder. I may not have always agreed with Rob Reiner on political strategy at times, but he always tried to do some good with the wealth and the fame that he had. He cared about the country. And when Charlie Kirk was murdered earlier this year, Rob Reiner denounced it and had nothing but sincerity and sadness for his family. And of course, we couldn't get that, though, from someone who's supposed to be the leader of this country. Which, again, says a lot about us and where we are as a country, does it not?
You're listening to the Left of Lansing podcast. The music you're hearing is by Wander Beats. To hear the latest project, check out Space Leopard on your favorite streaming site. Now back to our favorite progressive voice in Michigan, it's Pat Johnston.
Well, that's going to do it for the Left of Lansing for 2025. Good news, I'm not the only one taking a break for these next few weeks. U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson just announced that Congress is closing up shop on December 18th for the rest of the year. Must be nice. I mean, that, of course, means Obamacare premiums will go through the roof during the holiday season. And it also means that those MAGA Republicans are scurrying home before the Epstein files get released on Monday. It's inconceivable. When I come back on January 8th, Progressive State Representative Emily Diefendorf will be my guest to kick off an important year, and I can't think of a better way to start it than having Representative Diefendorf on the show. Please have a safe holiday season, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and let's hope for a better 2026, all right? Until next time, remember, take the battle to them. Thank you, Michigan!
The Left of Lansing podcast was produced by Pat Johnston, written by Pat Johnston, researched by Pat Johnston, edited by Pat Johnston, and hosted by, yes, Pat Johnston. Technical assistance by Dr. Heather. And thanks to our good friend Kirsten for the awesome podcast logo. Remember to visit leftoflansing.com for more news and information. Thanks again for listening to the Left of Lansing podcast.